Award-winning former police officer and criminal justice adjunct professor Garland Nixon hosts News Views Fridays at 6 p.m. Tune in to hear a refreshing angle on today's state of affairs and other issues other media intentionally overlook. Find the episodes on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. Only on your station for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, Washington.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we're listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
This is a journey.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing.
I didn't know nothing about
him. I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
With the finger roll, plus the foul.
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robertson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome, welcome to the Collision. This is where sports and politics collide. Here at your home for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, WPFW, attempting to change this very, very disturbing world, one broadcast at a time, with sports, with politics, trying to ease your mind, ease your soul, and hopefully educate a little bit along the way, using sports as a lens to talk about the world. This is what we do on The Collision. I'm Dave Zirin, joined as always by my man Chuck Modiano. How you doing, Chuck?
Great, DZ. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling great because in addition to trying to raise some very important pledge dough for WPFW, we also are going to talk about the World Series. I need your thoughts on that.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk about some of, you know, with the elections coming up, we got to talk about some of the hypocrisy as to what athletes are allowed to talk about politics and what aren't.
Right.
And we got to talk about the Commanders. I'm going to bring, hopefully, Mike in on this so he can tell us what the heck makes Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback, so special.
That's right there.
Yeah. And then lastly, if we have time, in addition to raising our funds for PFW, Chuck, I want to talk about the most quiet as kept secret in the early NBA season, which is that the Washington Wizards are actually fun to watch. This is something nobody expected. And yet, this is great TV. But first and foremost, we got to talk to folks about how you can support WPFW and our mission to fight for a better world, one broadcast at a time. I want to bring on really somebody who has shown all the leadership one could hope for at a radio station with the kind of mission that WPFW has. I'm not sure where we would be without her, the great Katia Stitt. How are you doing, Katia?
I'm well. Thank you, Dave. I'm happy to be here with you and Chuck and Mike this morning. And I just want to very quickly let people know that they can pledge their support to The Collision. And I will be back a little later in the program. But right now, folks, $500 is our goal. We can do this together. You know the drill. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. You can also do Cash App at $WPFW. And if you support the Collision today, you're supporting WPFW. You're supporting liberatory medium in media in the nation's capital that goes out to the world. And these four gentlemen in the forms of Chuck, Dave, Eton, and sometimes Coach, and now Mike, of course, five gentlemen, I should say, are why you need to support this station. The Collision is such an important program for WPFW. We are so proud of it. It is one of the centerpieces, as are all our programs, of WPFW. And we ask that you support that which supports you. You know, your appointment listeners to The Collision, you tune in every week, not only for the sports, but also for the politics to find out what's been happening in the streets. Chuck does a fine job of bringing us up to date on that. So again, if radio like this is important to you in these troubled times, as Dave said, The Collision is needed now more than ever. There are very few spaces, media spaces, journalistic spaces, where people can speak freely, like you hear on The Collision, and bring the facts, bring the voices from the ground, whether it be in sports or politics. So 800-222-9739, $500 to go for this goal. I'm hoping to come back on a next break and help you all thank some folks. You can also go to WPFWFM.org. And again, $WPFWFM on that Cash App. If you're moving around, if you got the phone in hand, do that. It's quick and easy. And we're also wanting to reach out to our new members, because we know there are folks. I hear folks all the time saying, oh, yeah, you work at that station that has The Collision. So if you're one of those people and you're like, oh, they're like, oh, I love Dave Zirin. It's like, okay, well, show him the love right now. Show Chuck the love right now. 800-222-9739. Don't wait any longer. Become a new member today. We're trying to raise 600 new members between now and the end of the drive, and we're about 583, so we desperately need your help with this mission, and you can do it. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $500 to go. Gentlemen?
Oh, beautifully put, Katia. And the only thing I would add to what you said, Katia, is that in this election season, if you do not see the importance of a media entity like WPFW, then I'm not sure what to say, because this debate taking place between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, I'm not going to say anything about the election, but just to say, when you think about the issues that aren't being covered in this campaign, and you think about the role that WPFW absolutely will talk about the issues that they would dare not discuss, then you have to understand how important to the very concept of democracy independent media is. So please support us. All right, Mr. Chuck.
Yes, sir.
You used to be the biggest Yankees fan that I know.
That's
and
right.
I know that hasn't quite been the same in recent years, but
that's right.
First and foremost, how wired in were you to this series that put against one another the two most storied franchises in the most storied rivalry in the history of baseball, if not sports? First time they've played in the World Series in 43 years. The Dodgers, of course, as people who watched last night would know, are the World Series champions, winning it in five games over the Yankees. Thoughts, Chuck? How wired in were you? Any observations you'd like to make?
When I wasn't on the street protesting, I was wired in. And sometimes I'm in this weird space that I'm leaving a protest to slip into a bar and watch a game. I almost feel guilty about it, right? Mm. But, you know, that's my world that I live in. And listen, this is historic. I mean, Shohei Ohtani did not have a great series, but I really wanted him to get that ring, because he did have a historic season, right? He had 50 home runs. He had 50 doubles. You know, Freddie Freeman was the guy who really stepped up. Mookie Betts is the guy who really stepped up. And when you have those three MVPs batting back to back to back, you can't shut all three of them down. Like, think about it for a second. If you shut sort of Aaron Judge down, which is what happened, it kind of affects all the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But you could actually play Shohei Ohtani, possibly the greatest player ever, play him well, shut him down, and still have at least two other guys who are going to deliver with their bat, deliver with their glove. If you saw Mookie Betts run to first, outrun the whole Yankee team to first,
mm-hmm.
in a debacle in the fifth inning, You could beat them with their legs too. So, I mean, I thought it was a really exciting series. I thought yesterday's game, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, was just awful for the Yankees. I mean, little league type errors. But I think the better team won, and I think it was clear that the better team won. And we're not just a better team just because they had all these stars, because the Yankees have their own stars, but the better team fundamentally, the stuff we learn in Little League, how to play baseball.
Wow. I couldn't have said that any better, Chuck. You're absolutely correct. I mean, it would have been – baseball can do this sometimes, where the inferior team with the inferior manager – who makes inferior decisions, maybe has two or three players who get on a heater, a hot pitcher, and before you know it, the inferior team wins. And that's happened more and more in recent years as the playoffs have expanded. And I'll be honest with you, I get mixed feelings about it. I don't like it when a team that's been beautiful for months and months and months gets dusted by a team that only got on a hot streak in September and October, but I know that's now part of baseball in the 21st century. So in an odd way, like, it made me feel like, yes, this is what's right in the baseball universe. The more talented team with better fundamentals, better pitching, and this is key, better management, yep. Dave Roberts versus Aaron Boone, won the series. And that to me was very satisfying to see. But I gotta say something, Chuck, and I'm not, people should know, I grew up in New York City. My dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan growing up. That meant rooting for the Yankees was absolutely not allowed. So I rooted for the Mets, loved the Mets, did not like the Yankees at all growing up. That was the code. So please know, though, I say that, but please know that what I'm about to say right now is not from bias. The number one reason the Yankees did not deserve to win this World Series is because this has been the most unhappy season for any team that's ever made the World Series in the history of baseball. Or maybe since 1919, when the Chicago White Sox were so unhappy, they decided to throw the World Series. That's how long it's been, Chuck, since a team has been this unhappy and made the World Series.
Define unhappiness. Define that.
I will. Thank you, Chuck. Because I have friends who are Yankees fans, and I went to high school with them, and I've had to hear this junk all year. You know, the team is underachieving. The manager stinks. We're going to lose the division of the Orioles. Our pitching stinks. Other than Judge, we stink. Everything stank all year. And until the very end, where they got hot, made the playoffs, then people were kind of like, oh, Yankees in the playoffs. Oh, Yankees in the World Series. But anybody who thinks that it kind of took over the city, I was just in New York, the way the Mets run really did kind of take over the city. And people got really into it, even people who were only casual fans. But the Yankees didn't bring in the casual fan because the atmosphere around them all year was so toxic. So I was very happy to see the Dodgers win, if for no other reason. I just didn't like the attitude of Yankee fans all season. And give me a break. I don't care if he goes 0 for 60 and drops 10 fly balls in center field to boo Aaron Judge.
Ooh.
Give me a break.
Ooh.
Have Listen. Some sense of what's in front of you and have some sense to value greatness. And don't be that person to boo Ooh. Aaron Judge.
You don't.
They didn't deserve anything. Go Dodgers.
Listen, it sounds to me from where I sit that you're really having a commentary on spoiled, entitled, rotten New York Yankee fans. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And I've been on this for a long time. I've been in that stadium disgusted by the people sitting to the left and right and me booing someone. I remember Stanton one year on opening day. I think he struck out four times. He was being booed on opening day. And, you know, and the counter argument that I've heard is, yes, but when we win, we're the loudest. Well, I don't need front runners around me. Sometimes people need support. And sometimes, and it's actually, you could make a scientific argument of this, the Yankee fans harm the Yankees. The Yankees who have had the basically top three or highest payroll for the last forever, and only make the World Series for the second time in over 20 years, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Have we ever thought the Yankee fans themselves and the toxic local media that feed those fans are a detriment to the Yankees' success?
Yeah. You know who the fans reminded me of? The spoiled kid who gets the all-expense-paid trip bought from their hardworking parents to go to Disney World, and they start complaining about waiting on the lines.
That's right.
Or saying, like, the $15 burger you just bought them at the concession stand, they take a bite and say, this is stupid. You know, that's who the Yankees fans remind me of. It's like, appreciate what you have. Appreciate you're in the World Series. You're losing to the better team. There you go. And I thought it was very fitting that the Dodgers got to celebrate in Yankee Stadium. Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad they did. And I'll say one other thing, too. You mentioned, I got to say this, you mentioned about how sometimes difficult, if not downright toxic, it can feel sometimes in Yankee Stadium. The best stadium experience I've ever had in my entire life, when watching two teams I could not give a boo about, was at Dodger Stadium because of how incredible the fan atmosphere was. So good for them. Seriously. Well, of course, the game I was there was the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking. Okay. And Rachel Robinson at age 100 came out, and everybody in the stands were wearing the number 42 jersey because they gave him out for free at the door. And, I mean, I have goosebumps even telling you about that.
I have a problem with that, and I say that as someone who was at the 50th anniversary in the 1990s, of 1997, of the Jackie Robinson breaking the color line. But that was in Shea Stadium. Because you understand the Brooklyn Dodgers don't exist anymore. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He didn't play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So what they did is they said, okay, we couldn't be against the Yankees, of course. That would be, forget it. The Dodgers always played the Yankees. The Mets didn't exist. So they had it at Shea Stadium. I don't think they were Citi Field yet. It's 1997. And Rachel Robinson was there. I think even Bill Clinton came in to speak, which explains the traffic, which was wild. And that was a moment. And so I remember that. So I can't justify this Los Angeles thing. And the second thing is I want to tell you about my greatest game, because it wasn't Yankee Stadium. It was 1995. Remember, they were playing the Mariners in the playoffs. And it was game two before going to Seattle. Seattle would eventually win on a famous Ken Griffey Jr. slide. But it was the last game of Don Mattingly he ever played in Yankee Stadium. And he hit a home run. And with two outs in the ninth inning. And Ruben Sierra tied the game. And it was Mariano's coming out party because he went three innings and extra innings, 1995, before he's the closer, to keep the game alive. And then Jim Larritz hit a home run, I think in the 16th inning, to win a game. And the atmosphere was bananas, but no one would leave the stadium. They kept replaying this home run, the 16th inning, and no one would leave, and we'd still cheer. And I have a question for you, Dave, because I have a theory, right? When the Yankees win in such a way, or win at all, Frank Sinatra's New York, New York feels like the most jubilant, incredible song you can hear, with everyone walking through the hall saying, New York, New York, and singing Frank Sinatra without his crooning voice. And it's the most beautiful thing. And yet, when the Yankees lose in fashion, it seems like a very depressing song, so much that I have a conspiracy that they slow the song up when they lose. And I don't know if I could prove this, but it doesn't sound like the same song.
You're saying Old Blue Eyes recorded two different versions, one for winning, one for losing?
No, I'm saying it feels like they slow it up when they play it, but probably in reality, they don't slow it up. But the same song doesn't sound great when they lost. It seems like you're taunting the loss.
Well, that's a very interesting point, Chuck, one that we'll send our ace detectives to look into, because the collision has a whole team.
Yeah, we do. Someone look into that.
We're going to look into
the people's detectives. They're not ex-FBI agents. They're the people's detectives. One last question for you, Chuck.
Yeah.
One last question about this World Series before we move on. Because you said something earlier. I just want to investigate a little bit. Because you said something that a lot of people have said to me over the last several weeks.
Yeah.
And a little noise in the background, folks.
Sorry about that. Fixed.
Yes. But the one thing that you said that I have heard, a lot of people said to me was like, I want a World Series for Shohei. I'm rooting for the Dodgers because I want Shohei Ohtani to get a ring. And I thought that was really interesting because here's this guy, plays out in L.A. No doubt he had a terrific season, but a lot of people on the Dodgers had terrific seasons. But people really did hone in on this incredible player who, as you said, had an incredible season, the first 50 home run, 50 stolen base season. But people just really, really, really were locked in on Shohei, saying, I want Shohei to get a ring. What's that about, Chuck?
The first part is, and I want to make sure you don't minimize, a lot of people have good seasons. He had the first 50-50 season in history, which was inconceivable. You know, Jay-Z has a club in New York City called the 40-40 Club. I don't know if it still exists or if they shut it down. And the reason he named it the 40-40 Club after 40 stolen bases and 40 home runs is that it would be so elite a club, and I have a whole critique of that club, but because I went once for someone's birthday and I really, it wasn't a good experience, but that's for another day. And that 40-40 Club was still to note an elite status. So my point is that a 50-50 club was inconceivable to exist. And now 40-40 is no longer elite, right? And he is the first, and I believe probably the only person who will ever do that, even 100 years from now. And so that's the historic season. But also we're talking about the best player we've ever seen because of his pitching. Probably the best hitter I've ever seen is Barry Bonds. But Barry Bonds wasn't striking out Mike Trout to end the World Baseball Classic. So when you add that in, this is the best player I've ever seen. The first time he gets to have a season without pitching. Wow, how incredible would he be if he got the pitch without a season where he had to hit? Imagine that. So we're seeing this historic player. And what do you want to see with such a historic player? You want to see them get validated, not that he needs validation, but get validated after spending all those years on the Los Angeles Angels without any pitching staff and get that ring. Whether he played well or not, he got them there, and it's a crowning achievement. And you want to see a player of that stature win. I can't think of any flaw. He's the first six-tool player who ever existed, because I'm adding pitching to that. And, you know, wow.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I could just go on and on. It's amazing.
Yeah. No. All right. I hear you. I hear you. And it's nice to have the great season backed by a championship. I'm rooting for Shohei. And then we got a pledge for WPFW. And I'm going to eat some humble pie here on this one, Chuck. Because if you remember way back in April, when people thought Trump was still going to go to prison before the election, way back in April.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani was in a gambling scandal. And
that's right. I already forgot.
Yes. And a lot of people were saying at the time, yeesh, they just signed him. He's the greatest player in the world. Is this going to get derailed before it even starts? Huge suspension, gone for the year, maybe even banned from the game. And Shohei's lawyers consistently were like, well, actually, he had this manager who stole his money and then bet it under his name so he could get in these high-end betting rings. And count me as one of the people, Chuck, who wrote a column saying basically, yeah, right. Please don't spit on my head and tell me it's raining. You know, it sounded like the biggest cover-up, but then I really looked into it and really looked into it, and yeah. Shohei was just someone who was taken for a ride by his translator. And I don't think it ended up damaging his reputation, but I was worried about it because he didn't deserve it. And I think now him winning a ring erases that completely from the baseball historical consciousness. And frankly, he deserves that. So that was the reason why I was rooting for Shohei.
It's a good reason. I forgot he had such a great season. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, that's good. That's the sign.
Yep.
Because he deserves that, certainly, based on everything I read about the case. But hey, but I digress. Let's bring in Katia Stitt right now, because I think we're having our audience feeling a little bit good in these tense times. And, you know, we're talking about, like, the political edge, why people root for people, the great World Series that just took place. But we can't have this space to have discussions like this without you supporting WPFW. So, Katia Stitt, how can people do it?
Well, again, Dave, I want to thank you both, first of all, and I know people are appreciating the discussion, and some folks we have to thank as well. Elliot Paris out of Olney, Maryland, thank you so much. Also, Howard Bray out of D.C., thank you so much. Getting us closer to that goal, no new members yet, but I know they're coming. I know there are people who've been listening who just have not made the commitment of membership, and we hope that you will do that today. If we had one of those new members, one of those listeners who is not yet committed, making a pledge at the $40 level, we would be golden. Uh-oh, Mike's telling me to refresh the tally, so let's see if something else is happening here.
Uh-oh.
Well, we have Ramon from Silver Spring. He says, let's go Dodgers. And Christopher from Clarksburg, Maryland, in honor of Baba Marcus.
There we go. Thank you, Mike. And then we have Christopher out of Clarksburg, Maryland, in honor of Baba Marcus Dwayne Austin. Thank you so much, Christopher. We appreciate you. And you can go online or the web. We have $371 to go. You can go online to WPFWFM.org, or you can call us at 800-222-9739. And as I was saying, if you are someone who is not committed to membership yet, now is the time. And if you could do that at the $40 or $50 level, we will exceed the goal, what's left of the goal today. So won't you help us help you? Help us keep the platform that allows for the collision to be on WPFW right here, and help these fine gentlemen who do such incredible work. And what I love about them and all of our programmers here, most of them, whether it's music or public affairs, they are so steeped and entrenched in the communities that they bring to the air. So they're bringing you, you know, the quality is palpable of the information that is coming forth on all of these programs, but especially on Collision. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $371 to go, folks. We can do it together. Again, new members, think about becoming a sustaining member at the $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 level, whatever is in your wallet, and more importantly, in your heart to give. How important is this liberatory media outlet to you at this moment? Dave said it best, you know, in this critical election time. And, you know, we're making a big deal of the election, but either way it goes, we still have work to do, and we still need outlets like WPFW. And either way, now more than ever, we need this kind of outlet. We need this kind of programming. So please, 800-222-9739, support that which supports you, WPFWFM.org, and Cash App at $WPFWFM. 371 to go, folks. Let's get it.
Yeah, let's get it, get it, get it. I absolutely agree with everything you just said, Katia. It's so important. You said something, Katia, that had such a great deal of wisdom, because everybody is completely is locked in, freaked out about the election so many ways. And I get it. But at the same time, as Katia said, and I'm sorry to not quote you directly, Katia, I'm doing more the gist. No matter who wins, the number one question is going to be, the battle continues. What does the terrain now look like? Because the battle will continue on a host of issues. But obviously, whoever wins affects the terrain in which we are battling. So our job is going to be figuring out how to decode what is going to come, because they both have very different agendas in many respects, very similar agendas on other issues. Either way, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. And I believe that WPFW is going to be extremely, extremely important in the process of us getting our ideas together so we could move forward after January.
The real work begins November 6th. That's when we get to work every day, holding whoever is in power accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. Although these days, Chuck, the real work might have to start in January, because who knows how long this election will last. But for folks like you and me, Chuck, obviously the real and Katia and everybody at PFW, you know, the real work has to happen every day.
Yep.
Or at least the potential for it every day. You got to keep your eyes open for what's out there and support people who truly do need the support. So, Chuck, we don't have to spend forever and a day on this, because frankly, there's a small part of me that finds it all a little bit trite at this point, but it does need to, we do need to mention it. On, what was it, Monday, on Sunday Night Football, San Francisco 49ers star, and I put star in quotes because he's having a lousy year, Nick Bosa photobombed an interview on TV, you know, NBC, wearing a MAGA hat. And that was the same night that Trump did his rally at Madison Square Garden, same day, where one of the speakers said unspeakably racist things about Puerto Rican people and the country and the
Oh, yeah, you talk about the Klan rally at Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Bosa does it that same day. And of course, you know, like in the press conference later, he's asked about it. Like, are you saying you stand with this, with this? And he was just like, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. And it's like, dude, you just went on national TV photobombing with a MAGA hat. And, you know, I think about Nick Bosa, and obviously it's difficult to not think about, you know, the San Francisco 49ers uniform, the gold and the red, and then Colin Kaepernick. And how the team treated Colin compared to the coddling of Nick Bosa. I got to ask you, Chuck, what do you draw from that compare and contrast? Because we should highlight it.
I mean, it's an easy one. If you want me to get all legal about it, Alex Simon at San Francisco Gate cited Rule 5, Article 4, Section 8 of the NFL policies that players are prohibited from wearing, displaying, or otherwise conveying personal messages, either in writing or illustration. And I can continue with that clause, but what you need to know is that he broke an NFL policy. And what we know about when they break NFL policies, they get very held accountable. We know that from Kaepernick. And Kaepernick ultimately gets blackballed because he had the audacity to say police should go to jail after murdering people. The audacity to come out after Philando Castile and Alton Sterling murdered back-to-back on back-to-back days, and then later did nothing but take a knee. So, we have a history here of punishment. And the NFL, I mean, I could tell you about Bosa, you know. Forget Bosa. I think our feelings on him are clear. But the NFL, you know, we don't see them doing anything. And not only that, but I would add that, you know, our friend Jim Trotter, who once held Roger Goodell accountable, worked for the NFL, and he was fired for doing that. You know, he wrote a column recently as well regarding his views at The Athletic, and he says his column was watered down. And I say that because, The Athletic is supposed to be, you know, independent and whatnot. And Trotter's column was watered down and talking about Nick Bosa. And, you know, that says a lot about the reach of the NFL, in my view. So the whole thing stinks, but of course there's a double standard. It's too easy. The NFL is I got to tell you, there's something about the NFL that does bring in the MAGA folks like nothing else. When I'm having discussions, even on baseball, when I'm having discussions, I'm talking publicly, Twitter, or having a discussion on basketball, it's different. I'm getting the OutKick crowd. I'm getting the Barstool crowd. I'm getting the crowd with one brain cell making the dumbest arguments coming into that timeline. The same crowd that's entering the WNBA all of a sudden loves Caitlin Clark crap. So there's a certain type of crowd here that, you know, Nick Bosa is part of. And I doubt that the NFL wants to alienate those right. people because they make so much of their fan base.
Right. That's very important. The one thing, I mean, I think that makes up a huger number of the NFL's fan base than NFL fans who supported Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. But that being said, there still was a sizable group of NFL fans who stood with Colin Kaepernick yep. and said, well, we're going to boycott yes. if Colin Kaepernick does not get another opportunity. Now, I raise all this, Chuck, because the NFL did not care about alienating those fans.
Right.
And that's where you get to the other issue that's at play. Because it's two things. It's economics, it's capitalism, it's wanting the fans there. It's also the reflection of the politics and values of ownership. And we know what those politics and values are. They're ugly as sin, and they only really show their full plumage, like the toxic peacocks that they are, come election time. Other than election time, they prefer, with the exception of a couple, to do their business in shadows.
They sure do. But you know, if you're insinuating that Jerry Jones, when he was a kid, was just stuck in, was part of that crowd, and was not just an onlooker watching to see the school segregation, you know, I take exception to that. He just happened to be there doing observational work, doing journalism as a young man, and he's a fine, upstanding citizen. You know, Jerry Jones is horrible. They're all horrible. You know, maybe you got one or two. You're right. I think the Rooneys might have some decency to them, but you know, the NFL ownership, they're awful. Across the board.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's bigger than Daniel Snyder, okay? Daniel Snyder, getting rid of Snyder does not solve the problem.
Well, but that was one of the things that made me realize just how hideous Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington football team, was when the other owners were like, yeah, we don't like this guy.
We don't like this guy, or is that he's exposing us?
Both. Because he's personally so unpleasant.
Yeah.
That I think one played into the other. So when you get people like Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, is practically a made man. You know, yeah. His father owned the team, etc. But Dan Snyder was not a made man.
Yeah.
And when he was so personally unpleasant, so politically toxic, so horrible with the media. And he hired private investigators to go after Jerry Jones. That's power in the NFL. Jerry Jones is far more powerful than Roger Goodell. Yeah. And yeah. Jerry Jones was Dan Snyder's sort of patron in the owner meetings.
That
stab in the back happened to Jones, and by the way, couldn't have happened to a nicer person, that's really what spelled doom for Dan Snyder.
Yes.
Yeah, one other comment on Jerry Jones that just I think is part of the story is, as you referenced, you know, there's a photo of him, black and white, early years of the civil rights movement, part of a group of white teens jeering and violently threatening black students attempting to go to school at one of the most famous sites of integration in the history of the civil rights movement in Arkansas. Jerry Jones is in that photo, and the reason why he had no deniability to say, hey, wait a minute, this is a, you know, 7-decade-old black and white photo, you know, how do you know that's me? Because dude has had so many facelifts over the years. No, it's part of the story. I'm not trying
okay,
to diss.
Okay, all right,
I'm
all
not
right.
trying to diss, and I'm not trying to shame. I'm not trying to, you know, people do what you got to do. But he's had so many facelifts that his face is like this lineless thing. And it looks exactly like his face when he was 14. So it's like you see him at 14 and you're like, oh, that's that 82-year-old dude. I'm just saying that it's kind of amusing that his desire to look young was one of the things that led, I was about to say, to his downfall, but he's more powerful than ever. So what am I talking about? But
at least
caused him some embarrassment.
Well, he's been caused some embarrassment. And, you know, not a whole lot has changed with Jerry Jones since that photo. He forbid his players from showing solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. Unfortunately, they actually complied with that. Mm-hmm. He was very clear about that. He's given Governor Greg Abbott $500,000 towards his campaign. Greg Abbott has sent some horrible anti-protester laws, by the way, and even exonerated a guy who killed the protester with his car.
Oh, he's fascist. Greg Abbott is not your typical rock-ribbed GOP Republican governor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's off the beam, and Jerry Jones gives him a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think Jerry Jones has changed any of his racist ways. I just believe he could make some money with some young black people who could throw well, jump high, and run fast. And I don't think that's too different than maybe in, you know, a lot of people tell me, well, he's around black players all the time. Well, you know what? In the late 1800s, the first 13 Kentucky Derbies were won by black jockeys. And those black jockeys in the late 1800s all had white people handling them. So, I mean, since the beginning of time, a racist white person has never hesitated to have black people help them make money.
I got to tell you, though, who is less racist in the white community than a horse owner? I'm just kidding. That was just a joke.
I thought it was a trick question.
No. It was more just like, you know, it's almost like the stereotype of the racist white dude. Oh, my horses. One quick thing, and then I'd love to turn it over to Katia Stitt so she can talk about how you can support WPFW. Just a little interesting factoid that y'all might like is in 1875, every single jockey but one at the Kentucky Derby was black. By 1890, it was an all-white race.
That's right.
I think that story is important because it also speaks to the defeat of Reconstruction.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And what existed, and then very briefly after the Civil War, and then what was ruthlessly destroyed, as seen in the Kentucky Derby. But I digress. Enough of 19th century sports trivia. Katia Stitt, what do you have for us?
Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you to Kate in our neck of the woods, Dave, Tacoma Park. Whoop, whoop, yeah. We're in the house. She says, thank you for spreading the word. Keep up the good work. And Anonymous out of D.C. says, for many reasons, I quit following sports 15 years ago, but I love this show. It reminds me of why I was a fan in the first place. Oh, that makes me want to cry. Thank you, Anonymous. And you know what, Anonymous? I started following sports because of this show. I had no interest, zero interest. But somehow following the Collision or being with the Collision made me interested in sports. I was always interested in the political part. Let's not get it twisted. Whenever there was something that came up there, I was with it. But I started actually following teams because of the Collision. So Anonymous, I feel you. Please do as Kate and Anonymous have done and Ramon and Christopher before them and make that pledge that makes the difference. We still don't have our first new member yet, but we're hopeful, you know. Hope is never waning here at WPFW. You can be that new member, that one that's been listening for a while and has decided to make the commitment. 800-222-9739. $296 to go, folks. A light lift. And we have 18 minutes to do it. We can do this together for the Collision, for the good work of Dave and Chuck, and award-winning Chuck, might we add. We have to remember Paul Robeson Peace and Justice Award recipient Chuck Modiano, award-winning journalist right here in our midst. And of course, Dave Zirin, also an award-winning journalist in our midst. So this is the caliber of the hosts and the producers you get. It is the caliber of the discussion and the programming that you get on the Collision and here on WPFW. Make sure this platform is there for them. $296 to go, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Many hands do indeed make light work. So consider becoming a sustaining member at the $20, $30, $50, $100 level. I know there are those within the sound of my voice, our voices, our collective voices, that have done very well in life financially. And you want to do good for your community. That is what legacy is about. It's not all the money you made, all the houses you bought, all the cars you garnered. It's about what did you do to make it better for everyone? Did you help all boats to rise? Did you look out for those that Dr. King talked about as the least of these, those who are the most vulnerable? WPFW is a way that you do that. You know, your wealth means nothing if it's not for the greater good. And you know that because you're listening to WPFW right now. So put that wealth to good use. Make a pledge of support. Knock this goal out for us. $296. Let's double it today even. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. Do it for the Collision. Such fine work. And do it for yourselves. And most importantly, do it for those who need this medium, that need this media outlet, that are enjoying this discussion today on sports and the political discussions that are also had, but cannot afford to support, because it's a privilege, right? It's disposable income. Not everyone has that. It's a privilege to be able to support this. So if you can do that, do it for others who can't right now. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, or Cash App WPFW. FM. I know there are folks out there saying, Katia, don't tell me how to spend my money.
But Katia, and I know you've had this experience to meet somebody in the DC area who's on public assistance or living in assisted living that is, you know, really bare bones. And, you know, this radio station is so important to them for their day in and day out managing of themselves. And they couldn't afford to send us 50 cents. So when you give to WPFW, you're not just giving to the station, you're giving to that person too.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, Dave, I meet people just like whom you're mentioning that tell me I pledged, or I see the pledges come in for $5, for $10. You know, those people come to our events and they thank us and they try to do whatever they can do. And it means so much, whether and let's not get it twisted, whether you're giving $5 or $50,000, we are equally appreciative because every dollar counts. And honestly, as we know, right, it's like when you know, if someone lends you money and they have a lot of money, it's not a hardship. It's that friend that says, listen, OK, I'll juggle a little bit so I can make sure you're straight. That's the one. You know what I mean? Because it's so important that we all do what we can, and many people do that. And so if you haven't done what you can yet by WPFW and you've been listening and you are in a good position to help us financially, do that now. 800-222-9739. We want to come back on the other side of this next segment and thank a bunch of folks who have made our goal for us. So I'll get out the way. 296, 800-222-9739. New members, where you at? We need you now.
And thank you so much to Anonymous. I'm wondering if Anonymous might be an ex-girlfriend of mine because they've all told me that I should only refer to them as Anonymous going forward.
sorry. Now, you know what? I'm deciding that was really funny, a little corny, maybe 80-20.
Oh, man, was that too much of a dad joke?
It's a little dad joke, but it worked for me. But, you know, who am I? You know what I mean? Maybe that's not a compliment.
I don't know.
I liked it. I kind of liked it, but that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, man. Well, I don't even know. I mean, I tell too many of these dad jokes, but I digress. I wanted to actually
Before you digress, let's keep it here. How do your children feel about your jokes?
Oh, my gosh. Do
they roll their eyes?
They roll their eyes, but like this morning, my son was really tired. And I just say to him, hey, what does one hat say to the other hat? And he says, what? And I said, time to get ahead.
That's
a bad joke. But for some reason for him, it works better than a shot of coffee. Because he's just like, oh, okay, that's stupid, Dad. But all of a sudden his eyes are open.
That's all that matters.
Yes. So I use them very strategically.
Okay.
Thank you.
You were about to say something, sir.
I was Washington Commanders. I wanted to bring Mike into the discussion if he's willing to be, because the Washington Commanders are somehow 6-2, which is something not a lot of people saw coming. Clearly, the difference is both the new coaching staff and this rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And Mike is somebody who really knows football on a lot of different levels. And one of the things that I've been wrestling with is, first of all, how are they doing it? And second, what is it that makes Jaden Daniels so special?
Character.
My goodness, that Hail Mary was something else over the weekend. Mike, what's your take to answer those questions?
Well, I think what makes Jaden who he is his character. It's the person he is. Because you can have a lot of people with a lot of different skill, But if they don't have the right character, if they don't have the right discipline, if they don't have the right, you know, people around them guiding them and showing them what to do and them actually listening to them, it's not going to work. And I think Jaden is a very disciplined young man who puts in a lot of work. They say he's the first one there before other players get there. He's already done his film work and his workout. He's ready to go. So I think it's actually, you know, the person who makes Jaden who he is on the field and off the field.
Mm. What is his most effective physical trait as a quarterback?
I would say his just his athleticism. He doesn't seem to be the fastest guy in the world. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's tall and, you know, the long legs and probably longer strides. But also his intelligence, his what they call these days the football IQ. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he really studies the game. He studies past great players and puts that into, you know, part of what he does.
Wow. You know, I've never seen a rookie quarterback. By game two, he looked like a 10-year veteran. And the other thing that makes him really interesting to me, Mike and Chuck, is that the team seems to revolve around him in a way which I've never really seen with a rookie quarterback. Like, you look at the Bears, and Caleb Williams, DC's own, is extremely talented. But you see all the veterans constantly trying to lift him up, keep his spirits up, keep his confidence up. Mm-hmm. And it feels like with Jaden, he's the one doing that for other people.
Yeah, for one, you know, you got to look at the team itself. The team is a very, very young team. So, you know, we only have a handful of vets, if that. So I think, you know, most of the players on the team, you know, they're around the same age. They, you know, they like the same things. They can relate to the same things. So I think that has a part of it. But then again, you do have those few veterans in there who can, you know, guide them and show them how to be a true football player, using them, the character and the morals and the values that you have off the field, and use those on the field and play smart.
Great lesson. One last question for you, Mike. Had you turned off the TV before Jaden Daniels threw that successful Hail Mary against the Bears on Sunday?
I'm not one of those. I watch to zero. But I will say this. I watch it on the Paramount app, so it's a little behind people who are watching it live on terrestrial. So I got this OMG text from my sister, and I said, don't tell me. But then when it was 2 seconds left last play, I kind of knew what was going to go down. But, man, I tell you, Dave, you know, I mean, even you know, hearing other people who have been with this team for decades, I mean, it brought a tear to my eye, bro. It really did. It was so – it was just a great moment for the franchise and for the fan base. And for everybody in that stadium, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen that stadium erupt like that. Even when Santana, the Cowboy Killer, got those two touchdowns, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Santana Moss, that was a classic moment. You know what's crazy is I've watched that Hail Mary in super duper slow motion, and it actually, when it bounces off the Bears' hand.
You mean the one who was out there taunting when the play was going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
It hits his like big finger, and it actually propels it up higher, like an inch above the hand of another Bears defender.
And that's what you
don't
do. Who
was there to knock it down. That is wild to me. The chances of this being completed are you know, suboptimal.
And we got to give Noah Brown. I mean, Noah Brown, he came to the team – a day before the first game of the season started. You know, he played with DQ back at Dallas. You know, he was at Houston last year. For some reason, you know, he just kept having going to different teams. But, I look at this guy. I see him on his interviews. He seems like another character guy who knows football. He has a good football IQ, and is just out there to play. You know, he's not the big superstar, but he is that playmaker.
Fascinating stuff, man. And I mean, 6-2. Last question for you, Mike, and I want to hear, of course, from Katia Stitt about where we're doing on the pledge. Did you see 6-2 as a possibility before the season began?
Before the season began, I thought we were just going to win six games. I mean, whoever placed their bets in Vegas before the season started, they're going to cash in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they only had them winning six games all year. And, I kind of had it there, too. It was kind of – I think I was just being a little hesitant and didn't want to, blow it up more than it, in my mind. But, yeah, I had them winning six games. Now I have them, at this point, 10, 11 games, because you never know. Philly, they're getting a little better. Pittsburgh has gotten really good with two different quarterbacks. I don't know how the brother Tomlin is doing it out there, but he's really, him and DQ are right there for me for coach of the year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Even though I want Pittsburgh to lose every one of their games going forward. So, hey, what are you going to do? That's just me. Ravens fan, man. I love me some Commanders.
Were you a Jets fan?
What?
Were you a Jets fan?
Well, growing up, I was. But believe me, I took that fandom, covered it in gasoline, and lit it on fire quite a few years ago.
Good for you.
Had to. Katia Stitt, how are we doing? Please let us know.
Oh, well, gentlemen, we still need $296. We can do it. I know. But you know what? Let's keep hope alive. Come on.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. We're 5 minutes to go, $296. Although the discussion has been amazing. And frankly, people should pledge because I never hear Michael Nasella wax so eloquently on the air. I try to just get him to say a few words and he's like, nah, I'm good. I know he has the skill. I know he has the talent. So for that alone, you should pledge right now. 800-222-9739. $296. We are making jokes here today, folks, but supporting liberatory media when we are under attack, when there are forces that would silence us because of, among other things, of course, our unapologetic stance on what is happening in Palestine, actually saying the word genocide, apartheid. We know that there are people out there that want us to stop. We're very clear on that. But we also know there are many more, and we hear them. The folks from the Palestinian Youth Movement, from Friends of the Congo, from the Haitian Liberation Movement. So many movements say thank you. Thank you for lifting those that are marginalized up. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. So if you are one of those people that understand the critical nature of what we do and applaud the fact that we do not back down on this issue, then protect us, support us, protect us with your dollars. That's how you ensure the forces that would want to silence us do not win. 800-222-9739. And on the Collision, they have been bringing us such good reporting on this particular issue, like they do on every issue. Okay, 800-222-9739. Mike is in my ear. I know it's time to go. $296, 800-222-9739. Please, please, please make that call for the Collision that makes the difference, or go online to WPFWFM.org.
Please. All right, I promise I will never do another dad joke if you give money to WPFW.
Oh, do it if it works. Do it if it works.
Magic Mike, for everybody out there listening, please stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace.
It's Palestine. Let's see who headlines instead of blow for blow. Let's go show.
As Tuesday, November 5th approaches, the Pacifica Network is preparing to bring you relevant and resonant election night coverage. The coverage will include discussion of the most salient issues of this election cycle, as well as updates on down-ballot races, state and local initiatives, and on-the-ground reporting from coast to coast. Voter suppression, Palestine, the economy, immigration, abortion rights, and so much more are at stake with this presidential election. November 5th, 8 p.m. until midnight, you'll hear analysis, discussion, and community voices from around the country presented by the Pacifica Network. The day after, November 6th, Verna Avery Brown hosts What's at Stake, the morning after post-election coverage. That's Tuesday, November 5th, 8 p.m., and Wednesday, November 6th, 9 a.m., election coverage, as only WPFW can present it. WPFW, presenting a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Think about how much you've relied on Democracy Now! And its birthplace, WPFW, this year. Democracy Now! Began in WPFW's Adams Morgan Studios as an election year program that brought analysis and spoke truth to power. Just as Democracy Now! Continues to do today, 27 years later, as an independent, unembedded, international investigative news hour. The global team of journalists you hear on Democracy Now! Brings you the events and voices of those attempting to create a just world and reports on the most daunting and heartbreaking issues facing humanity. Freedom is not free, but it's vital to the world we want to inhabit. Your financial gift ensures that WPFW can bring Democracy Now! To you live Monday.